All right, well, today we're continuing in our series, FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions. Who's been here for the last few weeks? I've been answering some of the, you know, why God questions, if God questions. Last week we talked about free will. But throughout the summer, I'm going to be answering some questions to the best of my ability and with the help of some of my brothers and sisters. I went down the list. I had over 40 questions submitted. Some of them are really tough. And so I, you know, phoned a friend and used my lifelines. And there's other people that are helping me accomplish this mission. But isn't that good that we work together? But today I'm going to springboard off of what I talked about last week about free will. Because when it comes to salvation, there tends to be two schools of thought. And the two schools of thought are, can people get saved by exercising their free will, or is it God's will that determines who can get saved, right? Is it whoever believes, or is it whoever God chooses? And the other question is can we lose our salvation? Can we exercise free will and reject God after first maybe accepting him? Those are some really good questions. Who's had similar thoughts about those questions and the answers to those questions? And here's why I'm addressing it, because in every church, there are people that sit on both sides of that fence. And I thought it would be worth our while today to spend 30 minutes looking at both the proof text for both positions, and then let the Holy Spirit kind of speak to your heart about what do I believe about this? So that's what's behind today's message. I'm going to be talking about Calvinism and Arminianism. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would minister to our hearts today, that we would have ears to hear why there are two views about salvation and the scriptures that are used to support both views. I pray that you would speak to our hearts and let us kind of settle what we believe, but more than that, whether we agree or disagree, that it would not inhibit the unity that's in our church, because I know we both love Jesus. Both sides love Jesus. And so I pray that you would speak to our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Again, I'm not going to say if you have your Bibles turned to, because we're going to look at a lot of scriptures today, but I want to, for those that weren't here last week, I want to kind of go back to what I talked about last week, and that was free will. And free will is the God-given ability to make choices, and several of my talking points last week is that we use free will. It's what enables us to obey or disobey God, right? We have choice. We can choose to obey or disobey. We can choose to love somebody or hate somebody. God's given us that free will to choose. And as I said last week, when we love people with it, it's a glorious thing. But when we hate people, bad things can happen. We use free will to choose good over evil. Some people choose evil over good. That's just the nature of free will. And then I made this comment, that free will allows us to accept or reject God's grace for salvation. Now, not everybody believes that. There are certain denominations that teach that it's not our choice alone. That God, from the foundation, beginning of the world, from the foundations back before we were made, he predestined who would be saved and who wouldn't be. And it's not really up to our free will. And so, you know, I'm gonna try to speak to both sides from Scripture today. Amen. And here's why it's been a debate in the church for so many years. There are many, many, many proof texts that each side leans on to validate their view. And there's great men and women leaders in the church that have either one of these views. And there's denominations that embrace both of these views. So it's not a, here's what it's not. Well, if you have the Holy Spirit, the real truth is, I'd be careful to go there. And I'm going to put today's message in the category that God is way above our rationale for reasoning and thinking, and there's just some things that are going to remain a mystery as to why are these two views, okay? So, to get started, this message is focused on the topic of salvation. And so as we go through these different thoughts and these different points with Scripture as it relates to salvation. Now, let me remind you what salvation is. Salvation is the saving of a sinner from the righteous judgment of God. Both Calvinists and Arminianists believe that salvation is that. They believe that it's the saving of a sinner from the judgment of God. We know that humanity had a sin problem, starting with Adam and Eve. We had a sin problem, and the penalty for sin was death. But because God loved us so much, he wanted to spare us from death, and so he sent his son Jesus to die in our place. So if we put our faith in him, he has shown us mercy, and he doesn't give us what we deserve. And everybody said, amen. That's really, really good news. And so I'm going to start with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believe the argument would come into play as to the whoever. Who is the whoever? Is the whoever predetermined by God in advance concerning every individual? Or is the whoever referring to humanity as a whole? Did God predestine the human race to have an opportunity to be saved, or did he predestine certain families to be saved and certain families not to be saved, or in individuals for that matter, right? It's where we also get some other terminologies with Calvinism is the terminology of predestination. Who's heard of the word predestination? We were predestined ahead of time, or predetermined, predetermination, or you've heard of the elect. When they talk about the elect, those who were chosen, Calvinists would say it's those who God chose before the foundations of the world to be his, and the other ones will be damned. So, Arminianism believes that God gave each person free will to choose whether they're going to believe or not, and based on their decision, then the consequences are either they are saved and go to heaven, or they're damned and they go to hell. So what's the big difference? Well, Calvinists believe that God chose. Arminians believe that man can choose. So that's the general context. Now, there's with Calvinism, there are five major points or topics that build their theology, and they have scripture, many scriptures, to validate each one. And so for sake of time, I'm going to look at several scriptures. I have looked at over 100 scriptures this past week, and I had to use my free will to decide which ones I was going to present today. And so if you have a favorite one that I didn't present, it wasn't intentional outside of I don't have an hour and a half or two to read every scripture, okay? But I think whether your scripture that maybe I don't share points to either side, I think the point I'm going to make about each one still proves true. So here's the first topic, and I think I have a chart. So the first one is just sovereignty in general, but the next five are the five points of Calvinism. I've used slightly different terms, but nonetheless, they're the right topics, and we're going to see which group how they differ in their view. So the first one is God's sovereignty. Calvinism believes that God's sovereignty was absolute, and it's just his way because he's God. He's sovereign. It's his way. Whether you like it or not, it's his way, and man really doesn't have a choice in the matter about who God chose to be saved and who isn't going to be saved. Arminianism, on the other hand, believes that no God gave man a free choice. So here's one proof text for Calvinism, that It was God's choice as to who would be saved. Acts 13:48. This is just one of many. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life. Now, the Calvinists would interpret that as many as God pre-selected to be saved or to believe to be saved, believed. As many as God chose, those are the ones that will believe. Now, if you just take this verse by itself, that's pretty clear. There's merit there. But if you read the whole context of Acts chapter 13, and if you're taking notes, you might want to look at these other verses, verses 43, 46, and 47, which are right before this verse. You'll see that they leave room for man's choosing. They leave room for as many that were willing to call on the name of the Lord got saved. Willing, that would be man's will. Okay? And so many times when there's proof text, if they're taken out of context or if the point that a side's trying to make narrows to one verse, you might go back and read the whole chapter just to make sure that you're getting the context in which that one verse was written. Arminianism, of course, uses John 3:16, but I'm going to add 17 to it to make their point, and that is, no, it's really up to man to choose. So, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him. It didn't say whoever God chose to believe in him. It just says whoever. He loved the whole world. So the assumption is that the whoever is, whoever's in the whole world that chooses to believe in Jesus Christ, then will be saved. Verse 17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That the whole world through him might be saved. It sounds a little bit like it's God's will that as many as possible can be saved, would be saved, not just a select group that he chose beforehand. And so Arminianism sounds conditional. Calvinism, absolute. You know, any parents here that just, you know, when your kids ask you something, you say, because I said so. That's Calvinism. Right? Because I said so. And you don't need an explanation because I'm your sovereign parent and I don't need to explain myself. Now, I don't have a problem with that. In believing in the sovereignty of God, I'm okay with that. That God's God. And he's put me in my place before because I was judging him. That's what we do when we ask the why question, just so you know. When we ask why God, we're judging God. We're judging God's answer to that question. That's not really our place to judge God. It's God's place to judge us. So I'm okay with God's sovereignty that says this is just the way it is because I'm God and I said it is. I'm okay with that. But in the context of salvation, there seems to be some scriptures that paint a little bit different view, thus both sides of the fence. You got me? Okay. So with Calvinism, God's sovereignty is absolute. Don't question God. With Arminianism, they're going, it sounds like God's leaving some free will for you know, his people to make choices. Because as I said last week, you can't have true love unless you have free will to choose to love. If somebody forces you to love you, that's not real love. Okay? So yes, salvation was predestined. I believe that was God's plan from the beginning because sin was a universal problem. Then he was offering salvation as a universal solution. So I believe salvation, God's idea of salvation was the predestined part. But as far as which ones would and which ones wouldn't, I'm kind of leaning towards he's given us free will to choose who will love him and accepting versus those who refuse to. 2 Peter 3:9. Kind of leans that way. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. It says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, the purpose of repentance is for salvation. 1 Timothy 2:3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. That doesn't sound like us four no more. He desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so one question that I would ask somebody that's strong on their Calvinist view is, why would God predestine some to perish if it's his desire and will that none should perish and that all should be saved? I'm not saying I have the answer. I'm just saying that's a good question to ask and to contemplate when you're talking about these two things. So that's God's sovereignty. Now, let's talk about humanity and man's depravity. I think most of us would agree that because of Adam and Eve, they opened the door to sin in this world, and that from Adam and Eve, we have a sin nature that we've inherited from our spiritual forefathers, okay? And so we're born with a sin nature. It's just in us. We lean more towards doing what's wrong than we do what's right, right? The Bible doesn't have to teach us how to do wrong things. We know how to do wrong things. The Bible teaches us how to do right things. And so our natural man's will is to do what's wrong. Calvinists believe that we're totally depraved, and without divine intervention from God, we would never be able to do what's right. The Arminians believe that, yes, we are tainted with sin because of the fall, but we're not like totally depraved. In other words, we still believe that evil people can do good things if they choose good over evil because of free will they've been given, but most of the time they don't. But it's not because they can't, it's just because they choose not to. That's the two arguments here. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. This is one proof text that Calvinists lean on to say that it's impossible for man. It's impossible. I would use the word unlikely. I don't know if I'd use the word impossible to come to salvation unless God pre-chose us, but that's their view. Notice it says the natural man does not receive the things of God. It doesn't say he cannot. And so I don't think they have a strong proof text here. Most natural men do not understand the Bible, but it doesn't mean they cannot with the help of the Holy Spirit. Arminians believe that man, yes, is tainted with sin, and it's affected how he thinks, but it's not impossible with free will to do good things. And one of those is to hear the gospel preached and to accept it for salvation. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. It sounds like it's conditional based on man's free will choice, whether we're going to choose to believe or not to believe. Remember, Calvinism doesn't give man the choice. Arminianism gives man the choice. Calvinism says man's not capable of making the choice. That's why God pre-chose. Arminians believe, no. As bad as man is with sin, he still has a will that can choose if the Holy Spirit inspires him to. That's different than pre-choosing before the foundations of the world who would and who wouldn't. We okay? All right. Does this make any sense? All right. Election, the choosing process. I kind of talked about it when I talked about God's sovereignty. Calvinists believe that God unconditionally, that's the key word, unconditionally chose or elected some to be saved, which means he also unconditionally chose some to suffer the wrath of God. Ephesians 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. According to the good pleasure of his will. Not according to our righteousness or lack thereof, not according to our choice to receive and believe. It was just according to his will. Now, the good part of that is, it sounds like God wasn't playing any favorites. He just randomly selected who would and who wouldn't. And he might have gone as far as using foreknowledge to decide, but it says unconditional, that God's election was unconditional. It was just according to his good pleasure. It didn't mention having foreknowledge of whether we would or would not exercise our free will. And so I've tried to think through of why would God purposely, if for God so loves the world and it's his desire that none should perish, why would he purposely design some or many to not even have a choice? I don't think that's in the heart of any parent, right? I mean, most parents, you do have favorites. I know you do. You don't admit it, but you do have favorites. But I don't think any parent designed to, hey, let's have a kid that's purposed for wrath. That's just, and we're made in God's image. So I have a hard time rationalizing. Now, God's God. He's sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. And it's my problem if I don't understand it or don't like it. I want to make sure I'm clear on that. I'm just trying to figure out, is that ring true though with the heart of God and so many other ideas of theology? Arminianism says that God conditionally chose those who he knew would choose him of their own free will. Slightly different. That because he's outside of time, and he's looked at the completion of everything, he chose those who he knew used their free will to accept him. 1 Peter 1, verse 1 and 2, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, verse 2, the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So Arminians believe that God has foreknowledge to look ahead in time and then put his stamp of approval on those that use their free will to receive Jesus. And so when it comes to election, Calvinists believe that it was God's will and only God's will. Arminians believe it's man's will has a part to play in it. Here's the next topic, atonement. Atonement. Calvinists believe it's limited atonement. Arminianism believes it's universal. Let me sum it up this way. Calvinists believe that only those who God chose is who Christ died for. Arminians believe, no, Christ died for the sins of all humanity. And only those that choose him will then activate salvation because they chose him. I thought this quote from Calvin was interesting. It kind of paints the picture. So John Calvin, somewhere in the mid-1500s, began to really write down and summarize scriptures that would point in his direction of what his views of salvation and whatnot were. But here's one of the comments he made. He says, when it appears that when the doctrine of salvation is offered to all for their effectual benefit, it is a corrupt prostitution of that which is declared to be reserved particularly for the children of the church. Calvin, that comment kind of sounds very religious, very us for and no more. We're the chosen ones, right? It's not a God loves everybody, and I'm hoping that we know not everybody's going to get saved, but at least everybody has a chance to get saved. That wasn't Calvin's view. It sounds very insider thinking, and there's some denominations that are very insider thinking, and the reason why is they embrace Calvin's views. Matthew 1:21 is one of their proof texts. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Not all people, but just his people. Well, who are God's people? Originally, it was the Jews, which Calvin was not one of. So, Calvin, aren't you glad that it doesn't mean what you think it means? And even if it was the elect, both Jews and Gentiles, yes, Jesus did die to save his people, but it doesn't say just them. We know later the Gentiles were also saved, right? Arminianism says that Christ's atonement is universal, that Christ died for all sinners, and it becomes effective when they believe. So 1 John 2:2, he, talking about Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. A little bit different take, isn't it? Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has appeared, talking about Jesus, bringing salvation for all people. So, do we believe that Jesus died for all, or that Jesus just died for those who were selected ahead of time to receive salvation and be considered God's people? There's scriptures that support both, and there's denominations that believe both, which is why there's the controversy. And then grace. Not the kind of grace that you give someone when you're nice to them and, you know, they don't deserve to be treated nicely, but you're going to treat them nicely anyway. That is a wonderful attribute. But the kind of grace we're talking about here is what we would call divine grace or saving grace. This is the grace that God gives sinners the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to come and convict them of their sin so they're aware of their problem and that they can receive Christ. Calvinists believe that God's grace is irresistible because who God elects to be saved will be saved, and man or anything else can't keep that from happening. So it's irresistible. Whoever he sends grace to will receive that grace to receive Christ done. John 6:39-40 says, and this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but that I should raise them up at the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day. So the Calvinists take that as whoever God decided will be saved, Jesus said, not one of them didn't get saved. Okay? That as many that God preordained to be saved, got saved. I didn't drop the ball. Okay. Arminianism says that God's grace can be resisted or rejected and will be resisted and rejected because man has free will to do so. Acts 7:51, this is Jesus talking. You stiff-necked, that means stubborn, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. I mean, here Jesus is out of his own mouth saying, because we have a sin nature and because we have free will, we can be stubborn and we can resist or reject the Spirit of God. I'm thinking about my own life. I resisted the Holy Spirit for years before I came to salvation. Now, eventually I did. A Calvinist would say, see there, eventually you did. God got his way. Okay? But there are some that may never. I think they should still be given the choice, but again, I'm not God. And because we have free will, if we exercise that free will for too long and we always reject and always resist, then Arminians believe that your heart can be hardened and you will never answer the call. And then security, eternal security. This is a big one. The two major thoughts through this whole message was, did Jesus die for only the select, or did he die for all? One of my thoughts is, if God is sovereign and he's selected to be saved, why did Jesus need to do anything? He could have just picked who was saved and saved his son's life. Well, I wanted to know who really loved me. Well, how do you know? You pre-chose. You didn't give him a choice. So, that's one. The other one is eternal security. Calvinists believe that because it was God's desire and his sovereignty to save you, you can't be unsaved. You can't resist it. You must accept it, and you'll always have it, right? Because it's God's way. God chose you, saved you, promised you eternal life, and nothing can change that. And it's where they get the term once saved, always saved, right? Once saved, always saved. John 10:27 is one of their proof texts. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. I agree with that. But how did they become his sheep? Did they free will choose to love him and receive and become one of his sheep, or did God choose? That's, again, one of the contention points. Verse 29 says, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. My Father has given them to me. So he chose who my sheep would be, and he gave them to me. Arminianism says, since you have free will, it is possible to turn your back on God and stop believing, that you can lose your salvation. Now, not all Arminians believe this. And so, not all Calvinists believe this. So there is what they call a 3-point Calvinist, a 4-point Calvinist, a full-on 5-point Calvinist. Okay, I'm just saying. Different degrees. And there's a lot of denominations that take the best of both and try to ride the middle. You know, that's their prerogative. I'm just saying, here's why we have the conversation, folks. Okay? Matthew 24:9 says, then you will be handed over to the persecuted, this is Jesus talking, and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. In fact, Paul told Timothy that in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now keep reading verse 12. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. So let's go back and look at this. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. Is that everybody or just Christians? Huh? I think it's talking about Christians here. He's addressing the Christian crowd. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. So those who identify with Christ is who he's talking about. At that time, many will turn away from the faith. What faith? The Christian faith. Who turns from the Christian faith? Christians. And will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end, that doesn't sound like once saved, always saved. You got to stay in it to the end. The one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Arminians believe because you have free will, you can turn your back. You can give up. You can surrender. You can say, this isn't worth it anymore. The Calvinists say, well, if you get to that point, you never really were saved. Who says? We have free will. We can choose Christ. We can choose to reject Christ. Anybody married? Is it once married, always married? Now, I know you're humans and not sovereign, but you still have free will. That would be like somebody saying, well, if you got divorced, you really never were in love. No, we were in love, but things happened and we just changed to our detriment. We changed. If you really embrace free will, that's not an impossibility to change your mind, to have a change of heart. It sounds like, according to that verse, that the responsibility for your eternal security is on you, not God. It says, if you, but the one who stands firm. Well, what about the ones that don't stand firm? Well, I know this, the ones who stand firm to the end will be saved. What about the ones who don't stand firm? Don't know. Could it be that they're not saved? It sounds like it's a possibility, although it would be a very poor choice to do that. We teach class, I can't remember if it was in class 201 or 401, where we teach about can you lose your salvation? I believe it's in 201. Can you lose your salvation? My answer to that is no, if you keep believing. That's a guarantee. If you keep believing, that's how you got saved, was to believe. I don't believe you can lose your salvation if you keep believing. Now, you can mess up and get into a sinful lifestyle. I don't believe God once you're truly born again. So here's another thing. Calvinists say if you're truly born again, you won't sin. Hello? Talking about Jesus. And in other words, you won't practice sinning. Oh, really? I know a lot of Christians who practice sinning. Doesn't make it right. There are going to be consequences for that, but it is possible to be a Christian and practice sinning. Absolutely. Huh?
I said absolutely.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, again, that's why we have the controversy. If you want to be guaranteed, if you want to have eternal security, I would say you need to remain faithful. You need to keep believing until you die. Period. In the same way that somebody can come to faith on their deathbed, it is possible that maybe somebody can lose their faith up until their deathbed. Now, that's the Arminian point of view. And not all Arminians agree with that. There's some Arminians that go more Calvinist. So, again, it's a little murky. But I'm bringing the idea up to make a purpose point for my message today. If we allow the enemy to use our differences of theology to bring division to our family, it will happen. But we also have free will to not let it happen. And we can choose right now that I may not agree with one of my brothers and sisters about this complicated topic of sovereignty and atonement and security. But I know this, we both love Jesus. We both are going to be with him in heaven because of our faith that we made, regardless of whether God chose us or regardless of whether it was done by free will. And we don't have to let things like this bring division in our church family. Amen? It's one of the, what I would call, disputable matters. When you start making a disputable matter non-disputable, you're going to have problems in your family. And so that's why we don't include something like this in our faith statement on our website. It's a disputable matter. And we leave room for people not to understand it all. We leave room for people not to know it all. We leave room for people to change their mind. They might have grown up under one belief system, but now, because they've studied the scriptures, maybe they believe differently. We want to leave people the grace to just agree to disagree. Can I hear a big amen?
Amen.
So, well, Pastor, what do you believe? Because you bring the message every week. Well, you know how I lean. If it wasn't obvious through my presentation. But I want to give you a disclaimer, and it's okay if you disagree with me. I believe God predetermined and predestined a way for humanity to be saved. But he didn't pick the individuals one way or the other. So I believe that God's method of salvation through Jesus Christ was his predestined plan for salvation. But then he gave humans free will to decide, do I want to accept Jesus or reject Jesus? And it's both, that God was sovereign in coming up with the plan because he knew our problem, our sin problem, but also believe that he gave us free will. We were made in his image. He has will, we have will. He gave us free will to decide. And isn't that what love is all about? Isn't that what should be the test, the litmus test of our faith? Is by faith, can we trust God to be true, and can we put our trust in his son who did what he did for our benefit? And for those who do, the consequences are good because they use free will for that versus rejecting him, using free will to reject him. Well, then they get the consequence of that, which is why the way I believe, I can say God doesn't send people to hell. People choose to go there. I believe it's God's will that all men should be saved. But he knows with free will not all men will be. But it's not him sending them to hell. He didn't make them to go to hell. That's just my opinion and my theological view. And that's the view which I preach from. Okay? And so the view that I have then makes it possible for anybody that comes to this church to have a chance to know Jesus and be saved. Now, if God pre-chose and it doesn't make a hill of beans, at least I made my best effort believing the way I believe. But if I go too far the other way, then what does my preaching have to do if God's already pre-selected them? It's harder for me to understand that based on what God's done in my life than the others. That's why I kind of lean towards the Arminian viewpoint. But I'm also a Calvinist in this way, is that God's sovereign and God can do anything he wants. And he can choose to heal or not to heal. Here's where I want to land the plane. Wise King Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, let's not lean on our own understanding. Because God is higher than our ways. We have limited human reasoning and thoughts, limited knowledge. We don't know it all like God does. And some of these topics are just really out of our realm. We're trying to make sense of things through a human viewpoint, but things weren't brought into being from a human viewpoint. And so I think it just makes sense to believe that we can't see the whole picture, God does. And only God knows for sure the final outcome of anyone's personal eternal security. He's the judge, we're not. And he can give mercy to anybody he wants to give mercy to. And he can bring punishment to anybody he wants to bring punishment to, because he's God. So let's not lean on our own understanding, and let's not let our disagreements lead to division. That's what I wanted to land on. Let's not let our disagreements lead to division. Here's what it's like. It's like telling your friend, I can't be your friend because you take a different way to work. Let's don't be that way. And let's keep searching and pursuing God with a right heart that will continue to bring us closer together with him in unity versus being fractured. I read an article this week about Calvary Church. It's a denomination that has been through many church splits over this one issue. And it's sad to hear and it's sad to read about why a church would be divided over this issue, since we've just read many scriptures that can go either way. And so for Generations Church, I would say, hey, let's not lean on our own understanding as our final authority for judgment. Let's leave room for disagreement. But let's do everything we can to protect the unity of our church, because there are things we do agree on, and that is who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And aren't you glad he did? And aren't you glad you got to receive that for your own life? Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray that we would continue to look into your word about things as important as salvation, but that we wouldn't let these topics or these theological viewpoints be more important than you and who you are. I pray that we would not be divided over these things, that we could have great discussion. Iron sharpens iron. But at the end of the day, we would not let the enemy use these things to bring disunity and division to our church family. And then the last thing I want to say is this. What about you? Close your eyes for just a minute. Make this personal. Just point your finger at your own chest right here for me. Knowing that your sin deserves death, and knowing that God's love for you wants to save you from that, what have you done with the gospel for your life? What have you done? Knowing that he wants to save you, he died to make it possible for you to be saved. Have you received that gift or not? Have you exercised your free will to receive salvation for your benefit? Most of us, I think, would say yes at one point we have and we're saved. Maybe there's someone that's not sure. They're straddling the fence. They haven't made it perfectly clear. They haven't made a choice. If that's you and you want to make a choice and be loud and clear about it, just raise your hand today. I want to pray for you. Just settle this issue in my heart once and for all. If you're not 100% certain that if you took your last breath today, where you would end up in eternity. If you're not 100% certain, you can be. But if you raise your hand, I want to pray for you. Raise your hand. If you're not 100% certain, or if you know you're lost and not saved, and you don't want to end up in hell, raise your hand. Anybody? I don't see any hands. I can't look through the camera to see who's raising their hand online. But here's what I do know. Jesus said, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that I am who I said I am and I've done what I've said I would do for you, you will be saved. And so if you're not certain and you want to be, why don't you just ask Jesus right now, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I deserve death. But because you loved me, you spared my life, and I want to say thank you. And today, I'm receiving your gift of salvation. Your death on the cross and your resurrection from the dead confirmed that you died for my benefit. And I'm receiving that today. I'm receiving your gift of salvation. And I'm saying thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for saving me. And because of what you've done for me, I will live for you for the rest of my life. I will give you my best worship. I will tell others about you and what you've done for me, you want to do for them. And I want to fulfill the plan and purpose in my life that you had for me when you created me. And I want to say thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand and worship God one more time before we leave. I love you. I'll see you next Sunday.